It's an emergency, people. Things could go horrifically wrong right now from this particular moment. Stop what you're doing. Stop the heck what you're doing. Put down that cup of coffee. Put down that pen. Anna's laughing at me. No. Like, seriously, we call this emergency planning because in light of new government announcements in the UK, you could find yourself having inhaled 1,000 sins in coffee shop pastries, cakes, 1,000 million sins in wine at a local pub. Perhaps you might even be frequenting at a friend's barbecue where you have inhaled lots of gatto and cheesecake and ice cream and all those, you know, quite high sinnerific things. And you could potentially undo all the work that you've just done in lockdown. It could be a disaster. Well, we're here to help you. We are here to make a difference and help you stop what you're doing and stay focused. Have you got anything to add? I thought that I'd said that from the heart, Anna. You just laughed at me the whole way through.
I'm just getting a little window into your life, like what Claire plans to do. it really is. Think of this as like the learning you need before you're set free. Like, this is your last driving lesson before your driving test.
That's a great analogy. Boom. Right, that's in a nutshell what we're going to talk about. Put the ukuleles on. Let's get on with it. Well, that was rather dramatic, wasn't it? I feel like we've kind of built this episode up into something really, 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 really big. But potentially, I think it could be quite big. So if you're kind of listening to this in the future, and it's not right now, where we're at in this weird little bubble is Boris Johnson, the current Prime Minister of the UK. I say current because you might be listening to this 2 or 3 years down the line and he might not be anymore. I don't know.
Or 2 weeks, yeah. And he's still going to be sacked.
But he's basically said from the 4th of July, which is basically in a few days' time, you are allowed to go to pubs, restaurants, museums, cinemas. They're going to be reopening. Now, whether you choose to do that or not, we're going to get into some of this, is, you know, entirely up to you. What are you putting your finger at me for?
Is it not just in England, though?
Yeah.
Because... Oh, okay. I was just checking because we've got viewers, listeners from all over. Like, they're in Scotland and Wales and they're still on a bit more of a lockdown. So we're just checking because you know me.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what we're seeing overall is a tend towards that. At some point, this little bubble that we found ourselves in is going to open and expand and a new normal may form. And we're going to find ourselves back in those places that for many of us, I say definitely for me, have been a huge temptation. And it's these kind of places that, if I'm honest, really, really set me back previously in my weight loss journey. So with that in mind, we thought, let's just talk about this. Let's make this topical. Let's look at some practicalities of how can you start to plan so that you don't just suddenly find yourself going into all these places and all these things, having all these treats and these things because you haven't tasted them for so long. And then in 2-3 weeks' time, you sit back and say, oh, bum, I've just undone all the work that I've just done in lockdown. I've just undone all the work that I've done on my weight loss journey. And I've got to go back to the beginning. So what can you do now to start to plan, to anticipate, to think about the temptation, the things that could trip you up? You get me?
I get you. I think it's so interesting, isn't it? Because not only are the places opening up, the people you can see are opening up. And I think the two together lead to like a concoction of celebration, things that we haven't been able to do. So I think it can potentially be, like you say, a lethal combination that if not handled well, could see you undoing all your hard work. Mm. But if handled well, could be a beautiful way to see your friends, see your family, and do it all in control.
Yeah.
So I think it could be a magical mix that doesn't leave you with a weight gain.
I like that. You added a little bit, a sprinkle of positivity to that. I was like, you know, oh my God.
Ah! Yeah, me, the eternal optimist, even when things look black, you have to look for the spark.
Oh my God, pass me the sick bucket right now.
It's true though, true though. It really is. In every dark hour, you have to find a positive. Otherwise, it will just look sad, won't it? So, you know, I'm quite looking forward to going into a restaurant and having a Perspex screen between me and Phil. Seems delightful. Have you seen the pictures on the news? There was a table the other day with like 8 seats and there were 8 Perspex screens. Like, it seems something you'd see in a film, but that is going to be our reality, isn't it? Really is.
I think the thing that I found a little bit frustrating actually was that I really just want to get back to my gym. I was gutted that, you know, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to go back to the gym because I don't mind doing, you know, I've been quite resourceful in doing my body magic. I got my silver.
Woo!
It's such an anticlimax when you do, when you log it on the website or the app. You know, I've got no disservice to the new Slimming World app. Oh, she's waving my certificate. Oh my God. It looks so beautiful. It's a blue one with silver sticker. Yeah, see, now that is what I expected. When you fill it in on the app, it kind of just flashes up. You've just got your silver body magic, and then you press something and it disappears, and that's it. You don't even, there's no, I expected like fireworks, a clapping sound, a knock on the door with like a bouquet of flowers. Nope.
Margaret to be there giving you a medal.
I was like, I didn't even get a chance to screenshot it as evidence to send to you that I have actually done. Because then I went, well, where's all my graph of all my progress? Because it shows week one, week two, week three. Disappeared. Once you do it, it disappeared. Because I guess they're still working on the version of that for the activity. It's still new on the app and the website. But I was like, I just did an amazing thing. And then it was just like, it wasn't the fireworks, but it's all right. So what I'm really missing is just being with people and having some mean person say, come on, do 10 burpees, get down on your knees. I need someone to tell me that rather than just me going, okay, let's go for another run today. Let's go for a bike ride. I'm like, get me out. So it's a mixture of emotions, isn't it? Really, because I'm like almost a bit like, oh, to go like to eating out was always my downfall as someone who was overweight. It was always my downfall in sabotaging my weight loss journey. And there is a bit of a fear around there, if I'm honest, in starting to bring it back. Because just as you kind of get used to kind of controlling what's in your bubble now, it's like, oh God, now I've got to change all over again. So when I saw that, I was like, oh! And
I think some of us, I don't know if you obviously don't feel the same way I do. I've become a little bit almost agoraphobic in my situation. I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay like this until it's gone. Wake me up in 2 years and then I'll leave the house. Mm. So my fears are just, I don't plan to go anywhere near it, but I can imagine that what I'll be tempted to do is go shopping. I think we've all got something different, haven't we? We've all got a wobble zone that's about to open up, and it's kind of looking how yours might be a restaurant, might be a coffee shop. For someone else, it might be a wine bar. Do wine bars exist?
I mean, so they're called bars. Yeah.
A wine bar.
I mean, if you want to go posh, you say a brasserie.
Brasserie,
a brasserie, not the thing that covers your nipples, but the thing where you have a posh glass of wine and a posh dinner.
Oh, no, we're so not that.
Type of place where you would need to use a napkin, as in, like, over your crotch area. What, lap? That was the word I wanted to use.
What are you insinuating?
Well, that went downhill, didn't it?
Oh, my God, for all our new listeners, she just insinuated that I drop things in my crotch. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
And see how we can help our listeners, know how we can put them off their food.
Well, we should probably reset and tell you who we are. So I'm Claire and she's Anna, and quite a lot of you are making us laugh about getting us mixed up when you see our faces. We're on Instagram, so we're at Slimming World Podcast. You can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. We are sponsored by Slimming World, but These are our own personal experiences. They're our own tips. So, you know, find your own way. We just offer our advice. Take your interpretation, work with your consultant, and work with your medical team to make the plan work as best and safe for you. So originally this week was going to be listeners' questions, actually, we probably should say, and we decided to park that and just push that for next week because it almost felt like if we recorded this conversation to go out next week, it would be too late because some of you might already have had the weekend out at pubs and all this kind of stuff. So we thought, right, just park that, put it for next week. So that's what you're going to expect. In terms of, like, I guess you as a consultant, Anna, and me as a mere member, you know,
a mere member.
Yes. I mean, I imagine that you're going to hear in the coming days in your groups, people talking about, like, planning. Like, you often say in your groups, like, okay, so what can we put together for a plan? What have you got coming up this week that we need to prepare for? So this kind of feels like potentially for some people, it's quite a big thing.
Yeah, really big thing. And it really took me back to the Be Delighted book, which is the book where you look at the first 6 weeks of your journey or any 6 weeks, and how really deciding what fun things you want to go and do and how they possibly could interfere with your weight loss journey and just making a plan around it. This isn't about anyone saying don't do anything, but I'm all about control. And I always feel that something's far more enjoyable when you decide to do it rather than you react and you end up doing it not in a safe space. So, you know, sometimes when temptation hits you, you just gorge, you binge, you lose control. And I always think it's not that much fun when that happens. But if you know, right, I'm going to the pub for the first time since March, I know what that's going to involve, then you can plan for it into your week, can't you? So I think we've got to be super honest about it, but also know where. Say if you're a drinker and you go out and you have a drink, where does that lead you to? Does that lead you to drink more? Does that lead you to eat more? Does that lead you to eat and drink more? Like, where potentially could this new opening up of things take you to? Is it going to be something that you feel you can do confidently, or are you a little bit fearful like you are that you're going to end up knee deep in some vegan cheesecake and it's just going to all go wrong? So almost addressing what you're thinking, because I think there will be a slight temptation to go, right, some people do it at Christmas. Oh, it's Christmas. Don't worry about it. Oh, lockdown's over. Well, sadly, lockdown isn't over, but things are opening up. So having a look at what you want to do and also what you want to achieve weight loss-wise. Because if you went and hit the pub and drank all the wine, you're not going to get a weight loss, are you?
No. I think what's really interesting is hearing how for some people they've lost their, like, kind of bigger... Why? Like, you know, we're coming into, like, warmer weather. Today is, like, potentially one of the hottest days of the year so far. So people often, like, plan towards their summer holidays, for instance, or weddings, and those things have disappeared. So it's almost like our sense of what are we working towards and our treat mentality and, like, being good or bad. I feel like all these things are, like, kind of kicking in. Like, you know, I've kind of penciled in a week in August that I want to go on holiday. It'll be in the UK. It's not going to be anything fancy. It's going to be camping, but it's penciled in, but it's not really definite. Like, so there is, I kind of feel a little bit like, well, what's the point? Like, I don't know if I can go on holiday, but I'm not going to my friend's wedding or my daughter's wedding. What's the point? I may as well go treat myself and just have a blooming good time.
Do you know what? That's all well and good, isn't it? Really, totally, if you want to go and have a good time. But I think as slimmers, what we have to recognize is sometimes we always have to have two whys running at once. So yes, it's great to slim for an event, but there also has to be a bigger picture, because the event will only motivate you for so long. Because what I see is people who, and I did it for my wedding, slim for your wedding, married now, see all the cake, actually finding that I'm doing this because I don't want my thighs to rub together. I'm doing this because I want to wear the little summer dresses that you've been wearing. I'm doing this because, actually, do you know what? I am going to be in a beer garden. It is going to be hot. And I want to wear something I'm going to feel confident in. Or my family's coming over to the garden. And I want to be in my swimming costume. finding maybe that new motivation. When your why's not really strong, that temptation can really, really pull you, can't it? But when you know that actually, I want to feel good in my swimming costume, or you're going camping in the UK, doesn't mean that you don't want to feel super good in, you know, a swimming costume in a lake, does it? Just because it's not, you know, Costa del Sol or wherever it is, it's really important to align that motivation in your mind, because otherwise those triggers, they just see an open door and they come running through them, going there like, you like cake, you like wine, these shops are open. And I think because we've almost hidden for 3 months, haven't we, nearly 4 months, it's been really easy to do things and kind of not worry. You know, a lot of members say to me, but no one's going to see me. And I think that's maybe made people go into the kind of their temptations a little bit easier, whereas now people can see you. So finding whatever motivates you so that you don't endanger yourself is just really important. But this isn't about saying don't do it, it's about saying, okay, if you choose to do it in an adult fashion, that's cool, but you know, do you really want it that much? Do you really want to jeopardize your weight loss? That's what I always think.
I found something the other day, so I've been clearing out random boxes, you know, of just stuff. You're like, what is even in that? I'm afraid to open that bag and in that box to know what is inside you. I don't know how this thing got in there, but I wonder if you remember this. It's a little, you're quite creative as a consultant. You like us to get our pens and our pencils and our pads and post-its. And I like this.
You're going to make out of me, people.
Yeah, but it's cool. And so I found this thing that you did in group a long, long time ago. It was a straw with a post-it note in.
The straw that broke the camel's
back.
And
I found and I kept my post-it note. So but do you explain what it is? And then I'll tell you what I wrote on mine and why I thought this is very topical, and perhaps this is a practical little tip that people can do in the current situation.
Like this. So the straw that broke the camel's back, it wasn't like my idea. I stole it many, many, many years ago. So basically, if you want to do it, you can create your own piece of straw and a post-it note. And this is about the straw that broke the camel's back in your weight loss journey. So what was the kind of motivating force that made you want to join? What was that emotion you felt? What was that reason behind it? And writing it on this post-it note and keeping it in somewhere that you can see frequently. Claire really listened to me on that bit.
Sorry about
you?
That.
Keeping it in your purse, keeping it, you know, on your desk at work. So that you can almost unravel it and say, do you know what? The reason I'm here today is because my BMI was 42 and my, you know, my cholesterol was high, or, you know, like me, I had to be cut out of a dress in a well-known high street shop. You know, things like that, whatever it is for you, so that it kind of keeps that motivation up, keeps that why strong.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest bit is putting the post-it note inside the straw. Everybody, like, yeah, because if you're doing this on your own, don't feel that you're the only one that is struggling to get a freaking post-it note in a freaking straw. It's really difficult. And then you take it out and you've got this idea that you're going to take it out and put it back in. No, mate. There's a reason it stayed in there
paper
for
straws.
A year or 2 years, because it's so blooming hard to get in. I don't want to take it out. Anyway, great okay. Great idea. Just take that back.
Yeah, don't knock it. Just a tip, paper straws, much easier than plastic straws.
Better for the environment too.
100%. You know, you could use a reusable metal straw as well if you wanted to, or a bamboo straw.
Other straws are available. Is that what you're basically saying?
I'm sponsored by a straw company now.
So when I kind of looked at this, you know, I've really been searching for what my why is at the moment. And the first line on this is, you know, I'll put 6 stone on in 3.5 years if I stop going, because that's what happened when I did last time. So, you know, it made me kind of just go, ooh, yeah, that is a strong reminder of here's what the reality, you know, to love my photos, to have endless energy, to have stable moods, to have beautiful clothes, trendy, no need to stuff myself to avoid pain and make it worse. And I kind of thought that, yes, actually, I am achieving loads of these. In fact, this talk about adulting, today I put a washing line up. Right.
Oh my God, that's akin to having a child in adulting. Like,
I've never had a washing line. I've never been so proud. But I'm looking.
It's going to change your world.
Well, I'm looking at my clothes on the washing line outside right now, and I blooming Love those clothes. There are so many different colours. I've got my green jumper. I've got my cool little checked trousers. I've got a mint leopard top shirt, which is awesome. And I'm you know, because on your washing line, it really kind of says what you're wearing, like how big are your pants?
Yeah.
How small are your pants? Yeah. How old are your pants? How new are your pants?
Yes. How great is your bra? Yeah.
So it's a way of like publicly saying to your neighbours, this is what I'm, this is who I am. And you can't hide from that. So I kind of thought with this post-it note, I was like, yeah, actually, I'm doing this. So this is a great little reminder. Your trick
really
worked. And I'm putting it on my notice board behind this laptop somehow. And I'm going to keep it there because I'm going to remember, like, you know, I'm at the point right now where we've heard in the past couple of weeks, where I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Yeah. And then I see this and it says, you know, remember what happened last time when you got to this point and you quit? Well, you put 6 stone on in 3.5 years. Little reminder.
You know, and I think that's really for a lot of people out there who probably are taking almost for granted where they're at right now. But I went into a well-known supermarket and just picked up 3 pairs of shorts yesterday, picked them up in the size I wanted, and they all fit. Like, that is something I would have dreamed of doing at my biggest. Do you know what I mean? It's those little things, like, actually, on the paddling pool with Daisy, and I don't care that I'm a swimming costume and my neighbours literally live on top of me. Are there things that you're taking for granted that actually could be super motivational when you're about to hit temptation, like the restaurants? I think maybe that's worthwhile giving it a go. Again, for a lot of people, or if you've never done it, you know, just realigning that motivation and what you've achieved. Because you've lost an 8-year-old, Claire, even a 10-year-old. Do you know what I mean? But you think about that. Phil and I were taking Daisy for a walk the other day, and Daisy's, what, about 2.5 stone? And Phil said, gosh, you'd never think you carried that much weight when you hold it on your body. When you pick up a person that weighs that, it really shocks you, doesn't it? So reminding yourself how far you've come. Mm. So I think that's really important. Like the Be Delighted book also looks at, if you are a group member, an online member, you'll have access to this book. And it's really, what do I want to achieve and what do I need to plan to achieve that? So if in the, say, next 6 weeks, you want to lose another 0.5 stone, how is everything opening up going to impact that? If you want to be a target member and maintain it, how's that going to open up? So just even giving it some extra thought is going to arm you, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, I think a lot of it all comes down to planning, doesn't it? It's that word.
100%.
I hate the word planning. Does my head in.
Well,
it's just like I try and get clever about it. I'm like, oh, I've thought of this new thing that I can do and I've come up with this new recipe. But really at the heart of it, it's always about blooming planning. And I like to be free and spontaneous and varied and like, you know, keep it fresh. But actually, it's always the same blooming answer. You just got to plan. I joke, but it is true. But the other thing I was thinking about was, you know, like you mentioned about feeling a little bit like agoraphobic. And I imagine that there are a lot of people, from seeing our emails actually, quite a lot of people who are quite anxious about stepping back into the real world. And so they might be feeling a bit more prone to emotional eating, to maybe keeping the corset even tighter through fear and panic, and then being, you know, just almost too controlling over the plan. So I was kind of thinking about them and just looking through like Slimmer World blog, actually, I saw that Dr. Linda Papadopoulos has shared a new post which talks about staying motivated, which I thought was really interesting. And the first point that she put was reframing your goals, which all kind of comes down to like just capturing, challenging. It's all like the idea of distraction, planning, anticipating, rather than, and like being proactive rather than reactive. And then I think that's what really squashes things like anxiety, because like knowledge it gives you power, right? Because 100%. I think anxiety comes from a lot of uncertainty. So when you anticipate, okay, this is a problem, this is really what I'm fearing, what can I do to prepare for that. And I was on a networking call the other week, and the topic of it was all about resilience. And I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with the word resilience. When I was working in prior employment, had a number of female managers basically point the finger at me and tell me I wasn't very resilient. And it really affected me. They just, I was kind of punished for crying openly at work, and I was punished for running away and not crying and not telling people how I was feeling. So I felt like I couldn't win. So resilience is a word that is often just made me feel a bit uneasy. But right now, resilience is really what so many of us need. And interestingly, the lady who was hosting the call talked about how so many of us were worried about overexposing ourselves to the news, to the death count, that kind of thing about what was happening with coronavirus. But then I think a lot of people kind of went completely opposite way and they started underexposing themselves. So this bubble that you talk about, this like kind of your world's small, it's controllable, it's manageable, it's your new normal. It doesn't matter what's happening miles away because you're just thinking about what's happening in my house, what's happening on my street, what's happening in my, where's my nearest shop. So what she was saying was, as you start to kind of prepare for things like, it might be that you've got all your children in your house for the first time in like 2-3 years or something, and you're loving that because everyone's back together. And then gradually, you know, these people, your sons, daughters, whatever, are going to move away. Like one mom was saying how both of her kids were at university and she missed them insanely. And she was already worried that they were planning to go back to university, go back to halls, live miles away. So the lady who was talking said, well, let's take that as an example and think, right, how can we start to prepare ourselves to expose ourselves? Because ultimately what resilience is about is being able to expose yourself to difficult and uncomfortable situations. So you're not resilient when you're kind of like not engaging in it. Actually, that's just avoidance, and it's fear. So it's kind of starting to open a little bit more. So, you know, like for some people I know, they don't want to go back into crowded places, lots of big shops, bustling restaurants. The idea of going somewhere like, I don't know, the Trafford Centre would be absolute horror for them. Now, I went to a popular furniture brand, popular furniture building shop the other day.
Swedish one.
Yes, yeah, that's the one. Meatball lovers will know the one I mean. And it was just really quite busy. You know, we queued for 45 minutes to get in. You do what you can with social distancing, but this is narrow kind of lanes. Yes, there is the directions.
Yeah.
You go to big supermarkets when it is a bit busier. There will be people who come a bit close to you. And it is quite anxiety, you know, driving, but sometimes I think your mind plays bigger tricks on you. So then it's like, you know, for instance, my mom hasn't been in a shop, and I went to go see her, and I went to the local shop and picked up a card for my brother and I don't know, a couple of other bits. Anyway, what I did for her was I videoed what it looks like inside the shop so that I could show her this is what it's like. And it was really interesting because we thought inside this shop it was going to be really busy because outside it, you know, the car park was full. There were lots of people stood around outside, all social distancing, but talking to each other. And initially I was like, are they queuing? Are they not? No, they weren't queuing. And when I went inside, it's a big shop, reasonably big. It's well laid out and it was really quiet. So the reality of the situation compared to what we thought it was outside. And she kind of went, oh, it's actually quite quiet inside. So I think it's like checking out what the reality is versus what our tricks, our mind is perceiving the threat may be.
Very, very true. And I think that works on so many levels with the reopening of things, because there may be fear that actually, oh my God, I'm going to go to the pub and it's really busy. So you get to the pub and you're really stressed and fearful. So you neck a pint. But it also might be, you know, to alleviate that fear, it also might be like the excitement and the overthinking of, I'm going to go out and I'm going to have a drink, and then it's a bit disappointing, so you drink a pint. So I think it is preparing yourself, isn't it, for what you might encounter and how different it might be and how that could potentially affect your eating and drinking either way. because I know anxiety for lots of people, me included, driven to eating with anxiety. Do you know, a bit stressed? Oh, I block. You know how you just said, stop eating to push it down? It's what a lot of people have done in lockdown. So many of people have been so fearful and so stressed. But also when we go out, potentially, that could be even more stressful.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and I think just forward planning it. So say you're going to the cinema. I don't know if anybody's into the cinema. I can't even imagine how the cinema's going to work right now. Is your fear of going to the cinema going to mean that your temptation is to go and get a grab-sized bag of chocolate and a 40-sin bag of popcorn where you'd normally take your strawberries and stuff? Really thinking through how, when you hit that eventuality, what it may do to trigger your eating, and plan for it. So you say, well, actually, I know I'm maybe a bit anxious, so I'm going to take my bag of fruit, I'm going to take my Hi-Fi bars, and I know that I'm going to eat that in the cinema. I'm not going to go near the counter with popcorn. So just thinking through each kind of event that may happen so that you can forward plan with maybe a bit of visualization, or just simply just thinking a bit about it rather than going out and just, you know, splurging.
Well, I think that's all very good tips. I couldn't have put it.
I'm glad you think that.
I see where you got the job.
Do you think? Can you see why I do this for a living? So complimentary. And can I just say something to you about resilience? I know you are super resilient. I've watched what you've been through in the 3 years that I've known you, and what you've been through in that time. You're hugely resilient. And I think as someone who has come from being overweight, we are more likely to put ourselves in a box that we are weaker, we're less successful, we can do these things. And we listen to the labels that people give us. And, you know, I suffered some similar things in previous workplaces that you had. And it's always made me feel a certain way about myself. And I have to reprogram and say, actually, what that woman said about me is a load of rubbish. And I'm super good at this, or I'm super good at that, or I need some work on this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you should have resilience next to your name. So rewrite that framework. Let that go, whatever that those bosses
are. Yeah, I am. I am. It takes a long time, though. I think actually the first step is admitting that you're holding on to these words and realizing how much it's costing you. And then it's like, okay, what do I do with this? So that's kind of more where the point I'm at now. But I think it's also with time, you build up more evidence where you're like, well, hang on a sec, I'm not like they say, because I've just done this and this. So as you move through life, I think it's easier to bat off stuff like that, because you start to know who you are, what you stand for, what you're good at, what you're not so good at with maturity. So then you're just able to say, oh, just get lost, you don't know nothing about me, who do you think you are?
And it also depends on your headspace, because what I've learned about negative thinking is when you're in a negative mindset or you're low emotionally, the only thing you're going to generate is negativity and negative thoughts. But when you're in a more positive zone, like you are, you've lost weight, you're successful in your business, you're happy in your personal life, what's going to come to the forefront of your mind is more positive things, because you're in a positive zone. So it's listening to those cues, isn't it? And saying, actually, like, maybe what potentially could happen going out into the world is the negativity says, oh, well, do you know what? One extra beer won't matter. One extra takeaway won't matter. And it's remembering what your default setting is doing. And maybe it's to sabotage yourself. So just getting to know your mind, I think, is really important.
Yeah, well, I will be going and journaling tonight about some of the things I would like to do over the next couple of weeks, places, people that I would like to see. And then thinking, okay, what could trip me up? You know, one of the things that actually has tripped me up in the past couple of weeks was I get the opportunity to go see my mom, you know, be it stood with an umbrella in the pouring rain in the garden. But I got to see her, and the service stations, I have completely forgot, because I'm on a long journey. Oh, it's a long day. Oh, let's treat yourself. Oh, I'll have a coffee. Oh, yeah, I'll get some kind of creamy syrup. Oh, look, the drive-thru's open at the service station. Yeah, I'm going to get like a latte with this. And then whilst I'm there, maybe have you got any like vegan chocolate? And you're like, what am I doing? It's, cinemas are interesting, right? Why and how do so many of us eat all of the snacks that we brought before the film has even started? I would never do that in any other circumstance. But why is it possible and plausible to do that culturally. Is it the fact that it's dark and no one can see, so that you could just be like, bah, 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 bah. You eat a whole bag?
Phil doesn't do it. It's really interesting to watch. Phil, like, saves it for the film.
Oh, he's a rustler. He's a rustler during the film. I consider myself considerate. Not. Is he, like, one of these people who, like, sucks on the popcorn so it, like, chews softly?
He's in the SAS. He sat next to you and you wouldn't know he was eating popcorn. It's so interesting. Where there's like, I used to be like, you know, two hands in, like shoveling it in, you know, chuck the Maltesers in with it like that, drink my drink. He's like, you know, we've got 12 minutes left and he's still got...
What?
What's that about? We're so different.
Or the people who leave food behind at the cinema. Or the people who have food fights. Have you ever seen a popcorn? I'm like, what are you doing? My head is like, you're wasting precious food there. Like,
food fights should be illegal. There should be punishment by imprisonment. they really should. You should never waste food for many reasons, but mainly because I would like to eat it.
Why do you always have food fights with things that aren't necessarily good for you too? Like, you don't...
I've never had food fights.
I mean, no, not where me and you are around. We would have eaten it. But there is actually in Spain a tomato throwing festival. It's a long standing thing, isn't it? So they take all the tomatoes when it's near the end of the season. I could see that, you're not really going to have a food fight with carrots.
Like, a bit hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's a cooked
carrot. A raspberry. That would be quite good, wouldn't it? Like, because it kind of squash on your face and splat. That'd be a great food fight.
A mushroom wouldn't be good. Wouldn't do anything. A whole butternut squash. Anyway, we're meant to be helping people. Coming out of... We've sold this episode. Now we're talking about a food fight. Where's your potential downfall, though? Because I think this is interesting to explore, because we're very different, aren't we? So I imagine you're going to be out and about, you're going to be active, you're going to be climbing hills. I'm just going to be waiting outside the nail salon in a tent.
Well,
that's what I'm going to be
interestingly
doing.
I think I've already started to see and spot mine. So service stations, being on the road,
right?
Being on the road is what gets me. So not planning in advance. So I went to work in a co-working space the other day. Didn't have enough food with me, so then I had to go out at lunchtime, and of course I wasn't really... I'll end up going to a little foodie supermarket chain and tried to get some speed, but there wasn't really a lot without a microwave. It was a bit more difficult. And then I think going, like, invisible sins at coffee shops, it's the little sneaky ones, like the lattes, I'm talking about the hot chocolates, where I kind of previously kidded myself, oh yeah, it's oat milk. Or it's coconut milk, but it's not the unsweetened version. It's the full fat, like sexy, I taste so good types. So then it isn't. I'm kidding myself saying that's healthy extra A. So I think it could be a combination of these little things. So I guess my plan is to, when I'm at home, what can I do to make sure that I'm cooking sin-free as possible, so that when I do go out, there is more flexibility there.
Genius. That's such a good idea. So you've got your sins for when you really might need them, because it's actually free food is your friend, isn't it? And if you can utilize that to the best of its ability, I think that's going to really, really help. I mean, we're not boozers anymore, but I think potentially that's where a lot of people are going to have a wobble.
Summer would have been absolutely like the hardest time for me. I was always a cider drinker. So a nice cold iced glass of blackcurrant and cider. I mean, like, in one of the houses we used to live at in Birmingham, this would be about 10 years ago, we actually had three fridges, and one fridge was a dedicated cider fridge. So that when we all finished work in summer, we could just take a cider can out the fridge and go straight to the garden. It was like... we dedicated a whole fridge to cider. I mean, it sounds ludicrous, doesn't it, now? But that was my downfall. But then a pint of cider or a can of cider is just so crazy since. Like, you can't have more than one. When you kind of look at this plan, if it's like, well, what's your choice?
Yeah. But some of them, are like, you know, some of the fruit ciders are 18 cents a bottle, aren't they?
Yeah. Even the alcohol-free versions are really, really high. I was really shocked because some of the beers, alcohol-free beers, are like half the sins. I mean, maybe that's a plan, right? If you are going to barbecues or pubs and you want to protect your weight loss but still be a part of all the fun with your mates, just switch to a couple of alcohol-free beers and that halves your sins, but you're still out and you've got a nice cold beer or something in your hands. Some people might see it as cheating, but hey, it's all about balance in life. And if you can just switch up a few real beers with a few fake beers or whatever you want to call them, then it might be the thing that kind of keeps your sins down a little bit.
Yeah, or, you know, I hear a lot of my members talking about having a soft drink in between, because I always remember as a drinker, the first drink was the best. And the last one, you know, just before my head was down the toilet was pretty good. Everything in between, I didn't really remember. And I think what I've learned about my drinking, how it used to be, is that I just got swept away with everyone else. And I think that's what might happen as a lockdown breaks, is that sweeping away of, oh, the pubs are open, I can see my friends, let's just do it, we haven't done it. That is totally and utterly fine if that's your choice, but just a few swaps, you know, to a lower alcohol, or swapping your wine to your gin or whatever it is, could really mean you still have the most brilliant time, but you mitigate the sins. Do you remember the birthday episode we did? We were in a park and we did it, and we were talking about, does your birthday have to involve cake and alcohol? Actually, you can have a brilliant birthday without cake and booze. And I think you can celebrate pubs and restaurants opening without jeopardizing your weight loss. It's just making a few little tweaks. You know, restaurants are opening and it may be your most favorite restaurant. So plan that into your week, that you're going to have that meal. But actually, like you said, recognizing I'm not going to use 105 sins this week on things into my meals. I'm going to use them when I go out. Just a little bit of thinking.
Or looking up sins before you have them.
You know? Oh, genius idea, Claire. Genius.
When we did our pub episode, what was it? Eating Out on Slimming World, I think the episode is called. We went to a popular chain of pubs and we tore the menu apart and like, what should we have? And actually that particular pub menu is in the app. So looking it up before we ordered it, at least then we know the reality of, okay, this is 40 sins. I'm all right with that because I really want it. Or rather than kind of going later on like, I thought that was only going to be 10 sins. Oh my God, it's actually 50 million.
Yeah. No, but remember your vegetables. Like, you chose really well. You chose those roasted vegetables. They came and it was like, how much oil is in this? Like, things that we just didn't even realise. I think that's such a brilliant idea, though. And I always say to my members, reactive sins are never as enjoyable as planned ones. You know, if you want to have something, enjoy it. Do it in control so you can enjoy every mouthful, rather than what I used to do, which is just like shovel, 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 instant regret, double shovel, shovel, even more regret. Don't need to do that.
I enjoyed your hand movements then.
Oh my God, do you know what? I'm so excited to get back into reality and my group and really be able to hand move and just swing my bingos around. Daisy does it now. I've taught my 3-year-old all about a hand gesture. Brilliant.
Oh, well, I am off to go and get a little bit of sunshine before my next never-ending Zoom meeting. And I am very excited to say that I have got my frozen banana waiting for me after work tonight. Cannot wait. Tastes like banana ice cream. I'm like...
Have you found it an optimum freezing time?
No.
So my tip... She's looking at me like, oh, Anna. So my tip is no longer than 12 hours in the freezer.
12 hours? I'm not waiting that long. I'm like, if it's frozen, I'm eating it.
No, but what I mean is, if you did it a day in advance, it's too hard.
I mean, I did it at 9 a.m. and I'm probably going to eat it at like 5:30. Is that acceptable?
Optimum time, Claire.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm glad that I have the Anna Mangan seal of approval on my optimum frozen banana length.
I must, before we go, just say a massive thank you, because I've had many personal Instagram messages, photographs of people sending me utensils, implements, machines that can chop vegetables for me. So far this week, it's at 37 different varieties. So I really thank you that you're caring about me. It's something that the podcast has brought me, implements, machines and chopping devices. So I just wanted to say a public thank you, Claire. I'll have to forward these to you because they are immense.
also saw a few more pictures that people had sent us of they're taking pictures on the scales. Someone sent us a picture saying they had got their reward the other day, and they sent us a picture of their scales. And I was anxious because on Instagram it says, picture is blurred to protect you. Would you tap to preview? And a part of me was like, what am I going to see? Like you, because you kind of expect, like, is this going to be, I don't know, right? So you kind of tapped preview, and I was like, oh, it's a picture of a scale. I don't want to look too closely. I'm just going to look at the number and then tap away. So
I've learned some valuable life skills in Zoom, and that is be careful when you take the picture on the scales. Just handwrite it to your consultant or text it. No photographing.
I did enjoy how some listeners have also sent us messages saying, oh, we just went and looked back at the pictures we've been sending our consultant, and we were like, whew, got away with it. Thank God.
Yeah.
So making you think about life, weight loss in so many different perspectives here on the Slimming World podcast.
It's on every angle, really, isn't it? Every angle.
And literally, our next episode, quite literally.
Yeah. Really. But our next episode is going to be listeners' questions, isn't it? Which is going to be all about you guys and what you want to know from us, or what burning question you might have. We've got quite a few stacking up, no? I'm just thinking, what have I just opened a can of worms?
She's riffing. She's riffing, people. She's doing her job. She's saying, next time on Slimming World podcast. Yeah,
trying to be seamless, right? I'm trying to look like I know what I'm doing. Like, now we're sponsored, and then you have to share with the general public what I was doing. It was a seamless segue. Look at you.
No, you did a very good job. No, that's exactly what we're doing, listeners' questions, and just sifting through like our inbox, even like a quick kind of glance. I was really intrigued by Ruth and her family, who all have been doing Slimming World, and what Ruth said that the episodes we've done recently, I'm stuck, particularly resonated with her when she was saying she's been at Target for 2 years and realise she is still berating herself. So we'll get into that, because that was really interesting for me to hear from someone like Ruth, that I'm stuck at this right now, but she was doing that and she's Target. So I'm really enjoying listening from and hearing from Target members as we do this podcast series. It's not just about the people who are members currently losing weight. It's great that we're kind of reaching so many of you who are already at Target, and you're still kind of working your way out of this. Whilst you are maintaining, you're still finding the groove. And it's really, really, for me, open up as a yo-yo dieter previously, it's opening my mind, my perception about how you really lose weight, but how you really maintain it too. The honesty that some people share with us blows my mind.
Yeah. And I think what I've learned from Target members in my last 20 years is that it's something you still have to work hard at, even when you've lost your weight. It's an even bigger, sometimes more challenging process to keep it off, isn't it? You don't just get that sticker, that book, that's done for life, and it's like, oh, you're fixed, you're cooked. The work in progress. So yeah, if you would like to send us any more questions or got anything, we've got the email, which is slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, or the Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast. Are you proud?
Yeah, I'm proud. Yeah. And then also you can follow and subscribe us. That's the other thing. Ratings and reviews. We continue to thank you for sharing and doing all that stuff and telling other people about this. You know, if we can help, whether it's someone who is doing Slimming World or they're not doing Slimming World, maybe there's someone who's struggled with their weight, who's struggled with their mind, you know, anxiety. If we can help just one or two people with the things that we talk about, then we have done our job. We're not here to impress millions. We're here to impress you and maybe a couple of other people. That's all that matters. Anna, what are you like?
Just, do you know what? I think the last podcast we did, or the podcast before, we were both in such bad moods and so sad. But today the sun's shining and we're all like sparkly and happy, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah. Long may it continue. Have a great week and go enjoy your freedom. I don't know if that's the right way. If you're in England, guys in the rest of the UK, it's coming, so get prepping. Speak to you later. Bye.
Stay safe. Bye.